Hey everybody, it's Rick. I want to welcome you back to the Nomad Pastor. Today we're going to do things a little different. We're going to do an interview with Two Plates from Bikers for Christ and Little Wolf from, he's the national chaplain for the Outlaw Motorcycle Club. We are actually in Nashville, Tennessee for the Bikers for Christ National Rally, so I thought it'd be good for us to just sit down and have a conversation. So I want to start off and allow Little Wolf to introduce himself, and then we'll go from there. Little Wolf.
All right, this is Little Wolf. From the Columbus, Ohio chapter, and I do go around the country and just visit with my brothers, try to get them comfortable with me being their chaplain, and getting to build up relationships with them, letting them know about Christ.
I appreciate that. Steve, you have Two Plates. You want to introduce yourself?
I'm Two Plates, and I'm part of Bikers for Christ in Nashville. I am their regional elder for the Southeast region. I've been with Bikers for Christ since probably 2012, and you know, it's helped me a lot on my journey with Christ.
Very nice. Very nice. So we're in Nashville right now, and what we're in Nashville for is the Bikers for Christ National Rally. And as we were doing this, and we've been planning for it, and we've been doing the different things, Little Wolf has been doing his Yeshua's Run, which is something that he does every year, right?
Right. This is the fourth year I've done.
Fourth year in a row. Do you want to tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, the Heavenly Father put it on my heart that he wanted a cross put across in the United States. And so I decided, well, I'll start up in Michigan, get on I-75, go from Michigan all the way down I-75 to come into Florida. And from Florida, I would ride up to North Carolina and get on I-40 and go right out to California.
That's amazing. So when you do that, you're raising money too, right?
Yeah, I'm raising money, plus I'm mainly doing it to go out there and visit with people, tell them about Christ and what he's done in my life. And just, I'll hit rest areas, and I'll sit there, and you can usually tell when somebody wants to talk.
Yeah.
They'll come up and I'll start talking with them, and I know that the Heavenly Father wants me to pray with them or help them out.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I know we talked about it yesterday, how it never surprises me how we could just be getting gas.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to see you, and they're going to come up and say, hey, what's all this about? Let's talk. And I think we have to look at those opportunities that Jesus puts in front of us, and we have to walk through that door. And that's a little bit what we talked about yesterday, walking through that door.
Yeah, you've got to take that first step.
Yeah, for sure.
Once you do that, it's easy. The Heavenly Father he's already opened the doors, he's already put stuff in your path that he wants you to do.
Absolutely.
We're the ones that keep blocking it. You know, and say, oh no, we can't do that.
That's usually how it works, right?
Yeah.
we closed the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you were to say, you know, if you were talking to other ministries or just other clubs, you know, what do you think would be the most important thing you could say to them in a short conversation to say, look, this is important?
This is important because, right, especially nowadays, we're getting a lot closer to the end of time.
Yeah.
And we need to start getting right with what we've done in our lives. And we've already proved ourselves that if we rule our life, we don't do a good job.
That's right. You know? That's right.
So why not let the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ be the ones, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, as I've went through this walk, you know, I struggle having those conversations sometimes out of fear.
Yeah.
right? I'm afraid, what is somebody going to think? And I think more than anything, I'm afraid of, what if I say the wrong thing?
What is the wrong thing?
Well, I don't know. I guess if it comes from God, it's not.
Not, right.
Right?
I think sometimes we're a little too timid.
Absolutely.
We worry about what other people are going to think of us or feel if we tell them what's on our heart.
Yeah.
And yet those who are negative have no problem telling you what's on their heart.
Right.
So why should we have that fear?
Yeah, we shouldn't have that fear.
No.
In fact, in the Bible, it tells us that we're not made of fear.
Right.
That's something that the devil has put on us.
Absolutely. You know, I think about how for a large part of my life, that fear caused anger.
Yeah.
Right? I would much rather show somebody anger than show them how I really felt. Yeah.
Well, anger is fear turned inside out.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you and I have talked about that a lot, two kids, right? It's about me having an ability to hide.
Yeah.
I can be angry. We can fight.
Yeah. But you haven't shown you.
That's right.
I can walk around it for years telling everybody I'm not afraid of nothing, but I'm afraid of everything because I'm full of fear.
Yeah.
And I'm angry about life because I'm afraid.
That's right.
And the thing is, you shouldn't be.
No.
Well, God tells you that if you let Him in control, there's no fear. He didn't make you have fear. He made you to be bold and follow Him.
I remember several years back being afraid to die.
Yeah.
I hope I don't die at this point in time because I knew where I was going.
Yeah.
Today, I have no fear of death. I have no concern about any of that because I'm leading the life that I'm supposed to live.
Right.
Yeah. So how do you get that message to somebody? Because there's a lot of people who are afraid to die.
Well, I think, at least for me, the head turner for me was that I knew in my heart of hearts I was living in a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not have any light in my heart.
Yeah.
If I didn't have chaos and I didn't have darkness going on in my life, it wasn't normal. When I finally came to a relationship with Christ, that all started to change. It didn't change overnight for me.
No.
But it started to change. And the more I got to know Christ, and I got that way by talking to folks who are in Christ, and I got it from being in the Word and doing Bible studies, those types of things, and understanding what God really wants.
Yeah.
He wants us to love each other and to love others as we love ourselves and as our mighty God loves us.
What you're all saying leads up to a personal relationship.
Absolutely. When I got my relationship right with God,
right,
through Him, I know that no matter what happens in my life, it's going to be okay.
That's right.
It doesn't make any difference. There's always the light ahead of me saying, you're going to have good times, you're going to have bad times. But no matter what they are, I got you.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's a better feeling than that.
No, there isn't.
For me to have. It's a comfort.
I know my kids specifically, you know, they'll tell you, you know, because I didn't come to Christ before I moved to Tennessee. Right? That happened after.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you, they like Tennessee Dad.
Yeah.
Right? And you'll ask them a question and they'll say, well, are you talking about Utah Dad or are you talking about Tennessee Dad?
Right.
You know? Because they see it, right? They see that difference. They see that love that I have, I think, for everybody.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean we don't struggle.
No. We're always going to struggle because we're not perfect.
That's right.
And It doesn't really matter, though.
Yeah.
Because the one thing about the Heavenly Father is he accepts you for the way you are.
That's right.
And he doesn't want you to clean up. All he wants you to do is ask, hey, I need your help, Father. And I want that personal relationship with you. And he's going to give it to you.
Right.
He's already told us that.
Right.
Yeah. We're the ones that, oh, man, he can't accept me.
Yeah. I think a lot about the day that I was saved.
Yeah.
You know, and I love to ask people, like, what was that day like for you? Do you remember that day? And everybody who has a real relationship with Christ, they remember that day.
Yeah.
How was that day for you guys?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Because when I finally did realize that I needed him in my life. You know, I started out as a kid, I was forced to go to church and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I turned my back on Heavenly Father and I said, hey, I don't need this, because, you know, they kept preaching about hell and brimstone. And I said, well, yeah, if I'm going to hell, I might as well come out here and have a good time.
Like, if I'm going to go, I'm going to be taken over.
Going big, yeah.
That's right. Go big or go home.
Yeah. And then when I realized that, hey, that ain't the way it was.
Yeah.
And the only thing that the Heavenly Father asked for, just think about it. What was the first thing in the Bible? He made man in his image.
That's right.
Right. Then he walked with Adam and Eve every night in the garden.
That's right.
So right there, it tells you what he wants. He wants that personal relationship.
Yeah.
That's all he was ever after.
Amen to that.
And we let Satan come in and screw everything up.
I think what you said there is a key word, though. We let.
We let, yeah.
Right?
We
let is the key word. It's like when you're reading the Bible and it says, therefore.
Yeah.
Hey, because of what I said before, you better listen. Right? We let Satan come and do it.
All right, we do.
Yeah.
And we still do. We let Satan come in here and put this little stuff in our mind, like, oh, man, you can't do that.
Right.
God never said that.
That's right.
But Satan does, And so now we're who we listen to. This little character over here in our ears, or God that's been true to us and sent his son to die for us.
Yeah.
So we'd have that opportunity to come back to him.
Mm.
I think I'd choose God.
Every day.
Yeah. Like Little Wolf, I think I fought tooth and nail against the spirit.
Yeah.
I remember the night very well that I asked to be saved. You know, I hate that the thought of I asked Christ into my life, because Christ was already in my life. I asked him to receive me into his.
Yeah. Right.
That's the thing. He's always been in our life.
That's right. And he never clarified that for me yesterday, Little Wolf, and I appreciate that. But Christ accepted me wholeheartedly, and I was the prodigal son.
I was
going home.
I mean, what's it say in Ephesians, right? We are adopted in sonship.
Right.
But I remember crying that night. And I sit here choking up as I'm thinking about it, because I was like the little kid standing on the edge of the diving board.
Right.
Saying, if I ask God, will he catch me?
Mm.
And I remember Smoking Joe looking at me going, he's
caught
you, man.
Yeah. He's already caught you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. I remember that. You know.
I remember that day clearly.
Yeah.
And there wasn't all kinds of bells and whistles and organ music playing or anything else. I looked at Joe after and I said, okay, now what?
Yeah.
He says, now you can't change your mind.
Right.
Now that you asked him, he's here.
All right. But the thing is, he's always been there.
He's always been there. He just waited for you.
If you look in your life, you look back on your life and stuff, you can see where he was there all the
time. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We were too stubborn.
I should be dead at this point. Yeah. And for some reason, he has a purpose for me.
Right. And that purpose is always good.
Yeah.
He never it puts is. Us in the bad situation.
Yeah. I struggle with, you know, what I see with the youth today, the younger generation,
yeah.
right? It's always, what can you do for me? Mm-hmm. Or so many of them just don't even want to work, no. right?
They want a free handout.
Yeah. And I try to think about, you know, how it was for Christ, right? He never traveled more than 200 miles.
Yeah.
And...
Well, he was on foot, though, and that 200 miles was a long way.
200 miles was a long way on foot.
Walking to California.
Like, right? Yeah, I mean, that's a lot, right? It's like driving to California, right?
Yeah.
But what he did, you know, we talked yesterday about the show The Chosen, right?
Yeah.
And one of my favorite parts of that show is when he's sitting down with the kids. And I think a lot, we don't sit down with the kids anymore.
No, a lot of the parents are too busy because they got to work.
Yeah.
And so they hand them a phone or a
tablet.
And say, yeah. Here.
Yeah.
Entertain yourself.
We depend on media to bring up our kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Satan's the one that's running that media.
Ain't he though? Jeez. Yeah. Every day.
Yeah.
So as we're here for Nationals and you're finishing up, how much farther you got for the run, for Yeshua's run?
This is the last
stop?
I'm going to head on home.
Okay.
I've been gone over a month now.
Okay. Well, that's been a long month, right?
Yeah.
And as we're here for Nationals, I think about just the love that we get out of this fellowship together. Right. The love that we get with the time. I was telling both of you yesterday how is... much work as this is, and building up to it, I was like, this is horrible, right? Yeah. I needed it. I need that time with
you have to have that time in fellowship.
I need that fellowship, but I need that time with God. And, yeah. and we talked about it yesterday about how you got to find that quiet time or that quiet place.
Right.
So I'd ask how you do that. Yeah. How do you find that quiet time today?
Well, you know, one of the things that you asked about was youth today.
Yeah.
How do we get to youth? And I think one of the things that we miss the boat on sometimes is working on getting our youth to focus on what's good and what's positive.
Yeah.
It is, as Little Wolf said, it is extremely easy to focus on negative.
All
right. And negative breeds negative.
Yeah.
Positive will breed positive. And positive stuff does not always have the word God in it.
Yeah.
But I always use the thought process of, if it's good, it's of God.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. It's like in the Bible, it says in the end times, people will start calling good bad and bad good.
Right.
And that's what we're in.
Yeah.
If you look around, people think something is good and actually it's bad.
That's right.
And so the reason that these kids nowadays don't know the difference is we've neglected to teach them. You know, our generation is, you know, we don't sit down and make our kids read the Bible or even tell the kids anything about the Bible. You know?
But I also have to look at, when I was a kid, my parents didn't sit me down and make me read the Bible. You know, they told me that I had to behave or God would get me.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Yeah, they try to scare you.
They scare you into believing in God. And we don't need to scare
people
into believing in God. What we have to do is be a living example.
That's right.
More than anything, we have to be a living example, because what kids become is what they see.
Yeah.
You know, when I was growing up, I wanted to be an enforcer. I wanted to be the bad guy, the tough guy, because they got respect.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have been further from the truth.
Right.
Yeah.
And I say that literally.
Man, we've all been there.
Yep.
Yeah. It all boils down to is your relationship.
Yeah.
You know, if you're you got a strong relationship with the Heavenly Father, and you live your life that way, you're going to be that example to the people around you.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to be the light.
Yeah. So if you had to give us advice, right? You know the circles we try to run in. You know, we want to be within a yard of hell. We want to run that rescue shop. Yeah. What advice would you give Bikers for Christ?
First, it's the same thing. You show the people that you're trying to witness to respect. Then you try to build a relationship before you try to get them to live in Christ. Because if you try to get them in there and tell them about Christ right off the bat, they're going to freeze up on
them. Yeah. I've heard several times.
It's either that or they're going to put you to a test.
That's right.
Yeah.
I've heard several times members of you know, motorcycle clubs and say things that really rang true to me, that they said, you know,
right.
I may be the only Bible they ever see. They may never open a Bible, but they see the Bible through me.
Right.
And even though they may not open a Bible, they know Scripture.
Yeah, well, most of them were brought up around the Bible. Either they had their grandmother praying for them and were Bible people.
Yeah.
Their parents.
Yeah.
You know? And even though they shunned from it, they still soaked it in.
Yeah.
Because, and then a lot of them go to prison. And the first thing they look at, they get hit with a Bible in the cell, you know. Yeah, there's nothing else to read, so you start reading that.
Yeah.
And, but we, you know, even though you may not comprehend it or not really think about it that much, it's still in your mind, in your subconscious.
The seed's being planted.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it, I think it's like, just like we talked about earlier, we run from it.
Yeah.
You know, we feel the push of the Holy Spirit, and we get very nervous.
Yeah, because we don't like that.
What is this funny feeling? Yeah, and we fear what we don't understand.
Right. That's just human nature.
Absolutely, and that's the way I was, and I know from talking to you, and in the real beginning, that's kind of the way you were.
Right.
Like, I don't know who you are, but leave me alone.
Right.
Yeah.
You're making me nervous.
Now, I do want to say that, you know, as we do this podcast, people may hear motorcycles pull up and hear people walking down a hall or different things happen, because we are at the National Rally. So I apologize for that, but that's just part of the game, right?
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, we got to be natural.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's how it works.
You know, I mean, our whole lives have been around motorcycles.
That's, yeah.
I've been in the club over 41 years.
Yeah.
Been riding motorcycles for at least 50 years.
I mean, I think I could. I was riding three wheelers and dirt bikes before I was riding a pedal bike.
Right.
I mean, that's what it was. And, you know, I remember when I was probably 10 or 12 years old, we'd go out to the sand dunes or whatever we'd do. I remember times where it was so cold that my dad, who was a pretty big partier, and he rode bikes, and he, you know, he did a lot of different things, and But they would put the beer next to the fire to keep it from freezing.
Yeah.
Because that's just what they did, right? And so if you hear the bikes, that's just our lives.
All
right. Right? Now, we're not drinking.
No. we're drinking, but it's...
Diet Coke and water.
Diet Coke.
Dr. Pepper.
Root beer.
Root beer. I do a lot for a root beer right about now.
Every beer product I drink is root beer. Yeah.
And you should be doing diet.
I know.
So now Rick is giving you an idea of why they call me Two Plates.
So yesterday we talked a lot about walking through those doors, right?
Yeah.
When you have that fear.
Okay, I probably should leave at this point.
I will tell you, we forced Two Plates to stay because he didn't want to hear about this part. But we talked about it yesterday a little bit.
Well, he actually wants to hear about it.
He does. He does.
It's that weird feeling I get. Right?
So, it's Little Wolf, how do you tell people to walk through that fear?
Most of them, they weren't afraid to go out and get drunk and all that.
Yeah.
So, why should you be afraid of getting your life back together? That should be something you want to charge for.
That's a great way to put it. You weren't afraid to mess up.
Right.
Why are you afraid to do the right thing?
Yeah.
I like the phrase of, you should charge at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't he say that yesterday?
Yes.
To you?
Yes, he did.
Okay. I was just checking.
No, that's... Thank you, Rick.
What about you, Two Plates? How would you tell somebody to walk through that fear?
Well... what I tell them and how I react are probably two different things, but what I always tell people is that fear is 1,000 feet high and 1,000 feet wide.
Yeah.
But it's as thin as tissue paper.
Yeah.
And
amen.
If you're nervous about going through it, grab somebody's hand and they'll walk through it with you.
Yeah.
But we should never try and, if we're afraid of something, we should never try and walk through fear alone. That's God built us for relationships. And he didn't leave Adam alone, he put Eve with him.
That's right.
So we are meant to be with other people.
There we go back to the relationship.
That's right. It's all about a relationship. Right?
Never gets away from it, does it?
You know, I think that was probably, you know, when I first came to Christ, that was hard for me to understand. Yeah. You know, it was hard for me to think about that he really wants a relationship. I had always... You know, I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah, which at that time was like 85% Mormon. And it was all about, like, this is how you do it. And if you don't do it this way, you're, like, condemned and you're wrong. Right? It's the whole fire and brimstone.
Right.
And
that was the wrong approach.
Yeah. And so when people are talking about, like, you got to have a personal relationship with Christ, I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
So how do you tell people that? I mean, you tell them your testimony, right?
Right.
But how can you really convey to people that it is truly a relationship?
I don't think you have to let them know what, like in the club. The club, it's a brotherhood.
Yeah.
Okay. You're getting to know your brother, you're getting to trust him and stuff like that. But that's there's a relationship right there.
Yeah.
What's different than getting to know Christ and trusting in him than getting to know your brother and trusting him?
Yeah.
Christ should be the same thing.
Absolutely.
And you know, everybody thinks that you got to go through all these wounds and all this. That's not what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you talk about the brotherhood. When I was in the early stages of my sobriety, my wife would tell me, Jesus loves you. And I would say, look, Jesus loves you, and I'm happy for you.
Right?
He and I got an understanding. He doesn't want me, and I'm okay with that, and we're good. But when I got involved with somebody in my brotherhood, another brother,
right,
who had gone through the same thing with addiction as I had gone through,
right,
and I had the trust with that brother, he started talking to me about Christ. When he started talking to me about Christ, I heard it much easier because of where he had come from. It's not that my wife wasn't telling me the truth.
It's just
that relationship.
Right.
Again, we talk about relationship. My relationship with my brother made it much clearer on how it worked for him.
Yeah. Right.
And I thought, if it worked for him that way, maybe it can work for me. So I started continuing to trust that brother, and he walked me through the process of getting a relationship with Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
But you've got to, again, it's not something that, I don't think it's something we can just do alone. We need someone to help guide us on that journey. And my relationship with Christ is not just a relationship, it's a journey. And it doesn't end. It's a continuous journey. And he leads us in different directions, and I know this is getting me in trouble, but he leads me in different directions, and I have to be willing to follow the direction he wants me to go. That's what a relationship is.
That's right. That's right. You got to be willing to follow.
The willingness.
Yeah. You know, people who have listened to my podcast have heard me say this a lot, right? Like, I didn't go to seminary. I'm not some theologian.
Right. None of us are.
Right? None of us are.
And none of the disciples were either.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
You know, everybody thinks these disciples were goody two-shoes.
Like, Peter wanted to fight everybody.
Yeah. I mean, Christ went out. He didn't go to the Pharisees and the Sadducees of that time where they were the high priests. You know?
Right.
In fact, the high priests were the ones that wanted to kill him.
That's right.
That's right.
He went to ordinary people just like us.
Yep.
Yeah.
And said, follow me.
Yeah. Amen.
And in fact, he even said, come and see.
Come and see.
That's right.
You make up your own mind.
Yeah. Come and see.
Give me a chance. Come and see. And like you said, Little Wolf, we spent a lot of our lives doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So if that didn't work, why would we not at least take a chance and try doing it a different way?
Different way?
Yeah.
Come and see.
That's, what's the meaning of insane?
Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
That wasn't in stereo, by the way.
I mean, you know.
Did we pass on that one?
Not at all. Yes. Great.
Well, that's only because my wife says I'm insane. But
hey,
and she's right.
We were all told we were insane.
That's right. You know? That's right.
Being insane doesn't hurt. Getting sane is tough.
Yeah. That's right. All right. So as we try to land this plane, right? Because we're like 35 minutes in now. It goes quick. Yeah. As we try to land this plane, there's a couple things. For me, you know, the one thing I would tell people is just walk through that door,
right?
Walk through it, and as much fear as you may have, there's somebody there to help.
Right. And you don't have to do it alone.
Right.
You don't have to be alone.
The main thing is, you're never alone.
That's right.
That is exactly where I was going, right?
Christ
is with you.
There. He's pursuing you.
That's right.
We are the ones that turn him away.
Right. Amen.
He does it. Even though you reject him.
Yeah.
You ask him into your life, he's there, and he's got that hand out for you.
Amen. Praise God to that, right? Because we need it.
Right.
I need that hand that I can reach up to in my time of need and have him pull me up.
Amen.
And he's there.
Yeah.
It's always there.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we have to get down to the bottom of our pit.
Yep.
But if we look up, because we can't look any farther down.
Right.
We look up, and there's that hand stretched out for you.
When we're our weakest moment, God is the strongest.
That's right. And, you know, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever.
That's the best news that we can have.
That's right. So is there anything, just to kind of like wrap this up, is there anything you would say to people just to say, look, this is where you, what you need to do? Or?
Yeah, I would say, like I said, we've tried it all different ways and we can.
Yeah.
And we mess it up every time.
Every time.
So here's a man that went, died on the cross for you, shed his blood, got whipped.
You guys don't worry about it. We'll move on.
And he's pursuing you.
Yeah.
I just want to double check.
Yeah.
Why not give him a chance?
That's a great way to say it. Why not give him a chance? What do you have to lose?
Yeah, nothing. You don't have anything to lose.
Right. You got a lot to gain.
You've already been in the bottom of the pit. What do you mean?
Right. It doesn't get much worse. What do you have to lose?
Right.
What about you two plates? What would you say to people?
I think there's three small things that I would say. Is one, I can't do it alone.
Right.
He can.
Yeah.
So I think I'll let him.
Amen. Over,
right?
Amen. So, as we wrap this up, I just want to say one thank you so much. And for anybody listening, if you go to the show notes in the podcast, whether it's Google, Spotify, you know, Amazon, iTunes, whatever it is, I'm going to have links for all Little Wolf's information so that you can go. He does accept donations to help with the Yeshua's Run, correct? Yeah. And then he's got Little Wolf Ministries, and he does a bunch of things for the community that, look, if it's on your heart to help somebody, to help push this ministry, like I would ask that you do that. Not everybody is called to be out front like that.
Right.
And if you're not called to be out front, but you feel the Spirit telling you to help somebody, you need to help a ministry that's going to be right there in the depths trying to save everybody, not just the people who go to the church building.
And I'd like to say one other thing. Every one of us has a story in our life.
Amen.
And that story can help somebody that we're around that's been in the same situation.
That's right.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to help people.
Yeah. Don't think you don't have the ability to give them something that can help them, because you never know.
Because like you said, you aren't going to listen to your wife, but you listen to your brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not because I don't love my wife.
Right.
That's right.
But because she hadn't gone through what you were.
That's exactly right.
She didn't know. Right. My wife didn't go through what I went through.
Right.
Right. I was super angry. I said it, right?
And I praise God that she stood by
me now.
Praise God that she can help me now. Praise God that my wife never quit on me.
Right. That's what I say too.
And that's, you know, my wife has it.
Yeah.
And she's been supportive of me and right there with me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this right out. All three of us probably married up.
Oh, yeah.
I tell my wife all the time that I outkicked the coverage. Little sports analogy from a biker, but right, there was no return.
No.
All right, look, I really appreciate you guys taking the time.
We appreciate you, man.
And you know, maybe we can do this again.
Yeah.
You know, we can do it over Zoom or you know, phone or whatever it is. We can get together. It doesn't matter to me.
I can do this again.
We can do this. I know you could. Two Plates didn't want to do it at first, and we just forced him. I put a mic in front of him, and next thing you know, he just won't shut up.
Hey, he's doing to say hello to my mother.
You did a great job, brother.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. So, look, I want to say a little prayer for us.
Yeah.
And then we'll wrap this up, and we'll just see what God has in store for us. Okay. All right, Father God, I just want to take the time to thank you for all the blessings that you give us. I thank you for our fellowship, that we can, as men, be together and talk openly about our relationship with you. We can talk about the struggles that we have and how we walk through that fear, and we just ask you to make us strong and allow us to build that fellowship that we need together, that we can walk through those doors, and that we can grow the kingdom. We're at a time, Lord, now that we just need warriors more than ever. We need warriors more than ever. They're going to go out there and fight side by side with you and just bring people to Christ. We ask that you protect us as we do that, that you guard us as we do that, that you allow us to put on that armor of God so that we can be warriors for you, Lord. And I just ask that you put a special blessing on Little Wolf as he continues and finishes up this Yeshua's run and all the things he's got going in his ministry. That you continue to bless Two Plates as he goes through his ministry and his work with recovery. And I just ask that you bless all of Bikers for Christ as we're here for the national rally in Nashville. And I just say these things in the precious name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.